Phone Boy Speaks, episode 822, The Adventure Behind Adventure.
I remember when my mom brought home an Atari 2600 back in 1979. I was 6 years old. It was Christmas. I think it came with combat, and I didn't always have somebody to play that with. But she also bought Space Invaders, which was really cool. But now as an adult, it's fun to hear the stories behind some of these games. Two very popular games on the Atari 2600. One of which I had, and one of which I didn't, was Adventure, which was fairly popular, and then Yar's Revenge. And now Adventure, the guy basically made the game sort of in spite of Atari, because Atari didn't think that this could be done. And yet, this guy basically built it, so it did prove the concept and essentially built the game and sold it anyway, or they sold it anyway. And it ended up being very popular. And the constraints of the Atari 2600 hardware were such that there wasn't a whole lot you could do. I mean, it was a pretty elaborate game for something with only 4 kilobytes of RAM, which is what the Atari 2600 had. So all the programs that ran on the Atari 2600 had to fit in that space. And it's amazing what they were able to do with that. And he had to think about the number of rooms, the number of objects, and how much each particular room could take up, or each object. I mean, it all kind of adds up after a while. And some of the design decisions they made were based on the fact that the Atari only had the controller that everybody had was the joystick with a single button, and so that kind of limited what you could do. And also, like, okay, well, if I had a screen where it showed all of my inventory, well, then that's just more memory that I don't have. And so some of the design decisions came as a result of that, and it made the game very playable. It also made a strategic decision. Like, for example, you can only have one item at a time in Adventure, and so you could either have a treasure or you could have a weapon. It kind of depends on what you were looking for there, and so that added something to the game. And the same thing kind of happened with Yar's Revenge, right? So for Yar's Revenge, one thing I've always noticed, and I didn't even think about why this was, but when you're playing Yar's Revenge, there's no score that shows on the screen. Well, it's one of the things that kind of goes. They didn't have a memory for it. And honestly, if your game's immersive, you don't care what your score is. You're just trying to succeed, which, is one. I mean, and Yar's Revenge was a game I played quite a bit, and I had the cartridge and I have it on the Atari Flashback, and I play it from time to time. But also that the super cannon that's in Yar's Revenge, it's the act of getting the super cannon, you can only fire it in specific circumstances, and you have to do something to build it. It's not something that you just generally have. And so those actions and having to deal with, with all of that actually adds to the gameplay. So again, they've used the constraints of the platform to come up with something that's fun, right? And, again, it's kind of like, well, Twitter, Twitter is another great example. It's not really a game, but it's a constrained platform, and yet people find interesting things to do on Twitter, or at least they did before Twitter pretty much killed the program that that developers use, or made it restricted it much more substantially. But anyway, that's for another podcast, I guess. But it's fun to see the adventure behind these. Behind Adventure and Yar's Revenge. And so there's an article on Ars Technica that I had some of this stuff in, and it's kind of fun to see those old stories and you realize that now gaming platforms of any shape, size, or color have very different constraints than the Atari 2600 from the late 70s. But I almost think constraints might actually be better for some of the games. I don't know. I mean, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure other people will have different opinions on that, but, I don't view constraints as a bad thing. And when you can make a compelling experience despite constraints, I think that, that there's real creativity there. And those early game developers for, the Atari 2600 and such, there's some pretty smart guys. I mean, they had to work around, it was like in Yar's Revenge, they had to use registers that were designed for one thing for something else. I mean, that's the kind of thing you have to do when it's like, okay, well, I want to do this, but I don't have a way way to achieve it. So, you know, I have to think outside of the box. And so when you realize the story behind all of those things, I mean, it's amazing what they were able to accomplish. And, you know, certainly I'm glad to have grown up in that age where I could appreciate that and not have to look back on it and you know, from a, you know, being you know, younger and going, well, you know, that wasn't that looked really hokey, not understanding what an actual technological feat it was. It's pretty amazing. So, you know, my hat's off to those guys, and I'm glad they're still around to tell their stories.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. Visit phoneboy.com/PS on the web for more information.